Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and I tell you, starting to get that feeling, that spirit. And of course, you know, Filet will always bring that out for you. So yeah, that's in the background. Filet Kuté, Mr. Follow from his Zombie album. Anyway, lots going on, family, as usual, and certainly we are able to kind of share some of that with you. And so tonight, as we get ready for our pre-Kwanzaa, or shall we say for Kwanzaa, we're going to talk tonight about a couple of things. Of course, getting ready for the first day of Kwanzaa, which is tomorrow. Umoja, and our topic for tonight, we're going to do an open mic tonight. And our topic for tonight is, of course, or some of the topics that we're going to cover tonight is, you know, how, again, and we talked about this briefly last week, how are we going to literally apply, embrace the principles of both Ma'at and Kwanzaa? So, you know, again, we're looking at the Nguza Saba of Ma'at and Kwanzaa, because Nguza Saba really translates into seven principles, right? So the Nguza Saba for Kwanzaa is, of course, the seven principles that you are all familiar with, starting with Umoja and ending, of course, with Imani. And we're going to cover all of those tonight. But every day this week, of course, we're focusing on these principles. You know, for me, that second day, that Kuji Changalia is something that we're going to be focusing on. We'll probably do a special edition for Kuji Changalia because we have a lot of information we want to start putting out there and sharing with you, particularly as we get ready for the MWM 25. Family, we've been holding back. Yes, we have been. Over these past years, you know, there's a lot of things we've been working on, and so now we are ready to bring those things forward, or at least some of them. We had to really hold back, and I'm so glad that we did, because it gave us the opportunity to not only grow and develop, but to really see some things very clearly. As we said we would, we said 2020, We said this in 2017. If those of you who were rocking with us back then, you know we said the year 2020 was going to be an unforgettable year. And surely it was. Who would have thought that COVID would have, come into our midst? But it did, and it still is. And interestingly enough, one of the topics we're going to talk about is we got a communications earlier that shared information about the proposed detention centers for New York. Oh, yeah. For people who are either COVID and are not, some stuff. I got to go back and read it. But when I saw detention center, that just like went, what? But again, you all heard years ago, Rex, I think it was 85. But prior to that, it was the King Alfred plan. Well, I know that some thought that was conspiracy stuff, but you know what? In most kind of good reads and even in films, particularly stuff that kind of, gives you insight into what this government is doing or planning to do, 9 times out of 10, there's some truth up in there. And I can surely tell you, with remembering reading the King Alfred plan, we're definitely seeing some of that today. And by the way, those who don't get what the Patriot Act did and Homeland Security and all that stuff, that kind of shift the so-called Constitution, and it can do that based on the Constitution. It's just like eminent domain. If it's foreseen that something can be of a better interest or usage or whatever for the whole or more, well, they can go into effect. Anyway, we are very clear about some of that and have plans to put some things in motion to address it. For those of you who are not making those kind of plans, well, I don't know what to tell you except see ya and don't want to be ya. Okay. At this stage of the game, people that don't know that some stuff is coming, well, hey, I tell you, you better check out what Phyla's getting ready to tell you.
Somebody follow them, close them eyes. Somebody follow them, close them minds. Somebody follow them, close them ears. Somebody follow them, close them eyes. Somebody follow them, close them eyes. Somebody follow them, close them mouth. Somebody follow them, close them ears. Somebody follow them, close them eyes.
And with that said, some of these so-called leaders out here, you follow. Well, we can't wait to see how that's going to turn out for some in the very near future. Not a good idea. I want to thank Sister Keisha for sending me a video earlier that talked about, one of the so-called leaders of today. And it's just so interesting that we still don't see the setups. But then, yes, some do and still go along with the program. But, again, we have some plans of action that we're going to be putting in place, and at least folks will be able to see some other things and make, hopefully, some different kinds of decisions. Nowadays we got some very well-groomed fake folk. I'll just put it like that. I mean, they've got really good training. But again, what we're going to see is who's talking about not only family building, not only community building, but nation building. Because guess what? I can guarantee you, in this world and as things proceed, if you don't have something that represents a nation or something similar to it, then guess what? See ya and don't want to be ya. That's right. At any rate, family, tonight we're going to talk a bit about several things. And again, we're going to kind of have an open mic because we'd like to hear from you, like to hear your thoughts, comments, and also suggestions, on and about how we going to be free for real. With that said, Kwanzaa, seven principles of Kwanzaa, seven principles of Ma'at. How are we going to incorporate these principles on a day-to-day basis? Because, again, in this day and age, if you ain't trying to do that, questionable. Anyway, the lines are indeed drawn in the sand, as we've said 4 years ago. Clearer vision is in our midst, and so is the Ma'atic Epoch. Yes, indeed. The Ma'atic Epoch is on the horizon, meaning a specific period in time for truth, justice, reciprocity, honor, balance, righteousness, law, Ma'atic law, that is, as with Ma'atic justice. Yep, those are some of the principles of Ma'at, reciprocity, and so forth and so on. So our formula or approach to kind of moving into 2022 is to embrace these principles, bring them together. Again, what is the modality for unity? People talk about it. People talk about Kujichagulia. People talk about Nia and Kuomba and all these. But how? What's the application? Well, we're going to be talking more about that all this week in terms of what MWM is doing and proposing and suggesting maybe for others. Anyway, moving right along. We're going to talk very shortly with a brother who is a representative from the Malcolm X grassroots movement. We're going to get a report on one of our political, of course, we're talking about Dr. Motulu Shakur. So we're going to talk with our brother Jomo very shortly, who's going to give us that report, that update. And also tonight we are going to talk about a couple of Kwanzaa programs that's coming up this week. Ours is coming up tomorrow, the collaboration with the Kwanzaa Collective, or rather the Kwanzaa Associates. We'll be with Baba Yao tomorrow and, of course, others, and we'll be kicking off our Day of Unity, Day of Umoja. We'll be showing the Black Candle. And also going to have a really powerful discussion tomorrow, because, again, we can't just look at the festive aspects of Kwanzaa, but also we have to look at, again, how are we going to literally apply these principles? People talk about unity, but the point is, how do we bring that about? How do we really manifest unity realistically in our community? Because it definitely ain't happening. You do know that in Philly, for example, there is now in our communities roughly over 500 murders for this year. In Chicago, 785 was the last count for Chicago. Wow. Now, family, y'all know a lot more to it than that. And in our Kwanzaa program last week, we did our pre-Kwanzaa program last week. We raised the question as to how y'all think these guns really getting in our community, and the drugs, by the way. And also, given in most Black communities, do you know that there's really no Black stores in our communities where we actually live? The stores in your community, like down the street, around the corner, down a little bit of ways, there ain't no Black folks owning them. How can that be? Why is that? Well, we're going to raise that question a little more, a little later on. But, you know, the reality is, again, what are we going to do about it? So we're going to talk more about that for our open mic. But again, family, tonight we want to share with you a report. Again, Brother Jomo is going to give us a report on Dr. Mutula Shakur. What we're doing starting tomorrow is asking our people, those who are our New Day family and those who are that we are connected to use these 7 days as some days of action. And what a better way than to support our political prisoners? How about that? How about taking at least one day out of the 7 days to write to a political prisoner or send a greeting card, a best wishes, you know, or whatever, or make a donation to their commissary. So, again, we are going to be kicking that off tomorrow at our Kwanzaa program. We're going to have available some addresses, some names and addresses of political prisoners so that folks can at least have in hand information where they can write to Mumia Abdul-Jamal and Dr. Mutula Shakur and Iman Jamil Alamin and Sundi Adakoli. Yep, we're going to make sure folks have some of that in hand. And as we also go to some of the other Kwanzaa programs during the rest of this week, again, Kwanzaa can't just be a time of first fruits, which is what the word means, but it should also represent those seven principles. And so, again, in unity, tomorrow we kick off our campaign for our political prisoners. Again, seven principles in action for our political prisoners. Greeting cards, letter writing, and make a donation, contribution to the campaign, either commissary or freedom campaign. There, you know, again, we're going to give you some more information about that, and we're going to be bringing up Brother Jomo very shortly. In the meantime, we want to, again, remind if you are in the Philadelphia area, certainly you can join us tomorrow starting at 5:30. We will be at the Zion Baptist Church. If you're from Philly, you got to know Zion. I mean, that's one of the key churches, or it was, particularly when we had the great Leon Sullivan there. You talk about OIC, you know, again, when you talk about a church that stood up and fought against apartheid, that's the kind of energy we used to have here in Philly. And actually, family, in fact, come next week, we will, in fact, be doing another Kwanzaa program for the Day of Kaumba. And that one will focus on the history of Night Watch. And also, we're going to look at, or rather, we're going to talk about the role, Watch Night is what it's called. And we're going to talk about the role of the Black Church past, present, and hopefully future. So that'll be for the Day of Kaumba. That's Friday, December 31st. And I'll give you more information about that shortly as well. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Brother Jomo, who's going to, again, give us an update on Dr. Mutula Shakur. Brother Jomo is representing the Malcolm X grassroots movement.
Penitentiary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That, of course, was Fela Kuti's son, Finlu Kuti. Anyway, family, moving right along. Again, we are getting ready to talk with Brother General. And again, we're getting ready to hear a update on Dr. Matua Shakur. And we remind you also tomorrow, we're asking folks to please think about sending some cards, good wishes, you know, words of love, et cetera, as well as, you know, letter, you write a letter, what have you. Again, starting tomorrow for the next 7 days. And we're going to give you more information about that. Of course, you can go to the Jericho Movement website, and you can get a bunch of information from there, as well as to get addresses, names and addresses and so forth in reference to our political prisoners. This is an excellent time to exercise those seven principles, and we encourage you to do so. At any rate, we're going to go to our live line right now, and joining us is Brother Jomo, who, again, is representing the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, but also, of course, the Dr. Matula Shakur Freedom, Free Matula Now campaign. Okay, so let's see. We're going to do this right now. Okay, we have our Brother Jomo with us. Greetings, Brother Jomo.
Greetings, free the land, everyone.
Yes, yes. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well and excited to be here talking about the Freedom Campaign to Free Dr. Matula Shakur and excited to connect with you and your audience around what y'all are up to and how we can connect our struggles.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. All right. Well, again, thank you for taking the time to join us. And before we get the update or, you know, the present, what's going on presently, could you just give our family just kind of a little bit of information or insight into who Dr. Matula Shakur is?
All right. Absolutely. So Dr. Matula Shakur is a father, is a grandfather, a healer, a human rights organizer, an activist. He is considered one of the founding members of both the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement and its founding organization, New African People's Organization. Dr. Matula Shakur is most famous, most known for his work in acupuncture in New York, helping to counteract the government's kind of doping of the community using methadone and using acupuncture to heal communities. He's a member of the New African Independence Movement, a long history of that starting when he was 15 years old with Ocean Hill Brownsville, with Herman Ferguson and those like Lumumba Shakur, Zahid Shakur kind of coming up in a political family, even connected to Asad Shakur. Sekou Odinga was part of, was at New Bethel in 1969 with the shootout there, and he's credited with saving both Herman Ferguson and his partner life in that shootout, placing, you know, covering them when the police started to shoot in. And then many years later, he's, you know, again, part of the set of folks who are investigating early on through the National Task Force on COINTELPRO litigation, really looking at now what we understand is the federal government's illegal program of surveillance, harassment, and destroying Black liberation movements. And so he was one of the lead forces actually beginning to investigate the murders of key activists in the movement like Fred Hampton, the arrest of the Panther 21. So there's a long history of not only healing our people, but also fighting for the freedom and fighting against our oppressors and seeking justice. And so part of this campaign is really trying to win his freedom. He should have been released in 2016 and continues to be denied parole, even though he has served his time, has been denied compassionate release twice, despite having contracted COVID twice, having stage 3 colon cancer and another and sets of numerous ailments. And so really we're in a trying to win the release of Dr. Matula Shakur as he's ailing in jail.
All right, all right. Thank you, Brother Jomo. And, of course, for those who do not know, Dr. Mutula Shakur, of course, was also the father of, Tupac Shakur, and was married to, Sister Afeni Shakur.
Absolutely.
You know, it's so important that, and I thank you again for giving that history, because, you know, again, people today, are activists and, talk Black Lives Matter and all this other kinds of things, which is good, it's good. But, when you had people who was doing that, 30, 40 years ago, when, it definitely was not as popular, and certainly, the opposition was, in a whole nother realm, to not, respond in a way of appreciation, if nothing else, but to do the right thing. I mean, any people who do not embrace the people who stood up for them and fought for them, I mean, nobody's going to respect those people. That's just who it is. You know, and so, again, we have to constantly remind people that our political prisoners are people who literally put their lives on the line and or did the work literally did the work continuously. It wasn't a fad. It wasn't, a phase in their lives or whatever. They literally did what they did and meant what they did. For the real. So, it behooves us to make certain that we do the right thing in making sure that we do whatever we can to get them free. That's what a people do, y'all, by the way. Some of this stuff is not taught to folks, but, we're going to help you with that. Some principles of fighting for freedom is you don't leave your soldiers behind. How about that? All right, Brother Jomo. So listen, so tell us what's going on now, presently.
Well, presently there's a campaign to try to again make to move the Biden administration to grant Dr. Mutula Shakur some form of clemency or pardon. Again, he has served his time. And is currently continue to be under prison under what they call these federal old law statutes. He's not the only political prisoner who continues to be in prison under that statute. Leonard Peltier is one of those that qualify for this. And there's about five other ones, Billy Dunn and others. And then you can go to the Jericho website, like you mentioned earlier, to learn more about those. And about 200 other of our folks who are languishing in federal prison, who have probably run out of any opportunity to win any kind of release, and are will only get released through some kind of federal act, some kind of act, either from the Bureau of Prisons or from the Biden administration. So what we believe is that the only way that's going to happen is that we have to build a grassroots movement amongst our people, and amongst our allies, demanding the release of Dr. Mutula Shakur, demanding the freedom of those four other political prisoners, those 200 that are also languishing under this really kind of antiquated federal parole system that should have been abolished a long time ago, and the calling for the release of all political prisoners. And we just believe that the only way that's going to move, the only way the Biden administration is going to pay any attention to our demands, is that we have to build the grassroots power, build the grassroots movement amongst our people to really demand his release, to demand change, and really on some ways demand, beginning to make the demand around, or remaking demand around reparations. You know, Dr. Mutula Shakur and the work that he's done, particularly for those of us who kind of grew up in a hip-hop era, because you mentioned a Tupac, right? The work that he was doing to try to transform and folks who are struggling with addiction. And we could see what the impact of that, of now we can see, or now we understand what the recent, I think it was about 2 years ago, some aide from the Nixon administration admitted that they were using drugs, flooding our communities with drugs, using it to to criminalize our communities and to use as an excuse to disrupt our movements. And Dr. Mutulu Shakur was on the front line of that fight and fighting back and leading a struggle to end that war. And so we're clear that his continued imprisonment is a reflection of, in fact, he is a political prisoner, because if he was just a regular prisoner, he had served his time, he should be out. But what we understand is that in trying to kill Dr. Mutulu Shakur in prison, they're trying to kill the movement that he represents, trying to kill the spirit of those who are connected to them. And I think what you're talking about earlier, right, like what we've seen with COINTELPRO, like the disconnect between generations, folks not knowing who Dr. Mutulu Shakur is while they run around crying about, not crying, I don't want to belittle it, but healing, trying to blend the two. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Dr. Mutulu Shakur was on the front lines of that 60 years ago, again, practicing acupuncture when it was illegal in the United States to do so. And so now and many of the natural and alternative medicine remedies that we see were really pioneered by Black revolutionaries and other revolutionaries of color, like Dr. Mutulu Shakur, like the folks from Lincoln Detox, the Young Lords, and all of those. And so you're absolutely right. But that disruption is intentional. As we remember in the COINTELPRO, they wanted to make it that Black youth could see what would happen to them, and that they would make it would be better for them to be anything else than a revolutionary. And so we no, we're not going to allow that to happen, and that we're going to fight for Dr. Mutulu Shakur. We're going to fight for those continued under OLAW prison, and we're going to fight for our freedom.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to add again that it's important, and that's one of the study groups that we have for the We Charge Genocide 21 is the COINTELPRO study group and task force, because we want to make sure that we educate the masses of our people about what that is. We want them to see some of the actual documents and so forth. Here in Philly, of course, we know, we reviewed some of the FBI documents that talked about Mumia when he was 14 years of age, because Mumia was in the Black Panther Party at 14. So they had literally already had reports on Mumia at 14, 15 years of age. And then the example that we saw, Brother, is that you making that? It's a lot of noise coming in. Is that on your end? Because whatever, remember, your phone will pick up whatever noise is going on, because it's like a mic. But anyway, so again, with Mumia, what we found was that Mumia was in 1981 or 80, Mumia was literally one of the 10 most up-and-coming people in Philadelphia. Literally, the Philadelphia Magazine, which is a white, pretty much white magazine, had him as one of the most up-and-coming people in Philadelphia. So to take the opportunity to, and it was always said, at least in the Black community here, that they were using Mumia as an example to show people, hey, look, you can be prominent, you can be, you know, a professional, whatever. You talk that Black stuff, or you talk that stuff about the government or whatever, let me show you what can happen to you. So that was, for us, this government's way of, you know, scaring people once again, or at least, you know, making them think twice about getting involved in movement stuff, you know. And so we've seen that in other situations as well. But I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you pointed that out, our Brother Jomo, because we've got to help our people to better connect these dots. You know, we say the Black dots. And with that, to know, have an understanding, overstanding, as some say, of what's really going on, what has happened, but guess what? What's getting ready to happen. See, because before, that stuff was kind of secret. Well, you know, I mean, secret only in the context of it wasn't just out there. You know, you had to dig it up, right? And family, we got some information we're going to share with y'all about a break-in that happened here in Philadelphia that discovered some of those FBI files. See, y'all weren't taught that in school, so we'll fill you in on that later. But the point is that, again, we've got to help our people to have a better understanding of what has happened and what's going to happen. And the reason why I say that is because the Constitution stuff is getting ready to change. we've already seen that with this voting kind of stuff that's being placed out there. Well, what people don't realize is that it really changed after 9/11. The laws changed, and it changed under what people known as Homeland Security or the Patriot Act, you see. So all of this stuff about freedom and all of that that folks used to have or think you had, guess what? You're getting ready to see right before your eye. And again, Brother Jobo, again, y'all ain't got to believe me. Look at what's happening with COVID. Look at how you cannot go into certain locations unless you show that you've been vaccinated. That's real. That's real stuff right there. You cannot go, for example, here in Philly, starting January 4th, you cannot go into restaurants unless you can show proof of your vaccination. Now, that was already in effect. But now they get ready to really push it. At certain gyms, for example, you can't participate. Now, say you already had your membership, right? Well, guess what? You cannot go and work out unless you show proof of your vaccination. And lastly, on that note, I don't know if you heard about this, Brother Jomo, and I'm gonna play a clip from it a little later on. But there's a proposal in New York for detention centers for those who they feel are either creating a risk with COVID. They're proposing detention centers.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so we knew this was coming, but they're using something. See, whenever you start looking at public safety, that's going to override certain so-called freedoms. This is a very calculated thing that we're looking at and dealing with. Because how are you going to argue, oh, there's a pandemic and it's causing death? How are you going to tell the average person, hey, y'all, they're using this to really manipulate, you know, certain things? We understand it, but a lot of people don't, and they're using that ignorance to their advantage. So I don't know if you've heard about any of that.
No, I haven't heard. I think we've seen some of that happening in D.C., but I think to your point is absolutely right. And again, we can see where this federal government has never really proved itself to be trustworthy. I think this connects, again, to Dr. Matulu Shakur's case and really understanding not only the impact that it's had on his own personal life, but the impact that it's had on us as a movement and the cost. And so now we're in a moment where we can't find critical medical advice that we trust, right? And the one person who probably had the expertise and the ability and the record to do so, Dr. Matulu Shakur, is locked behind bars, right? And what we get hear back from a lot of times from those who bring messages from Dr. Matulu Shakur is that, his desire to get free is to help heal us, right? And I think that that's really powerful and speaks to the kind of revolutionary he's been, the kind of human rights organizer that he is, kind of human being that he is. And so I think you're absolutely right. And also, the importance for us to be able to organize and to build institutions of self-determination, right, that can really help safeguard our health and, really keep us keep us safe and keep us away from, like you said, this kind of weaponization. We've seen all these things, and they always pose it like it's meant to take care of us, but when we, the history of it is always weaponized against Black communities. So it's always us who pay the cost around these policies, and we have very little recourse to stop them or to try to make a different choice for our communities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ashe. Well, again, family, tomorrow is the day of Umoja, so we're going to see what kind of unity we can, begin to see and as it pertains to our political prisoners. Again, what people would allow those people who literally give their lives for our freedom to continue to be incarcerated without, your support. I mean, think about that. And so I'm telling folks, you know, you may lose your black card in a minute. You really are, because, you know, there has to be some criteria set up to help to better differentiate, you know, some realities about who is and who isn't. And I dare say that that has to be one of the things that is put out there. If you're not prepared to do something in support of getting those free who have already demonstrated, proven, shown their commitment or whatever, then guess what? You're playing. You're playing. You really are. And these are some of the things that I think is going to help people to have a better kind of, you know, insight into the, you know, again, who is and who isn't. And there's some fundamentals that really should be dealt with all across the board. It really should be. And again, you know, the perfect examples are our political prisoners. There's no getting around that. You can't make up no excuse. You can't. Mm-hmm. To write a letter, to send a card, to do something in support if you can and in any other kind of way, there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that. So we're not having it. And again, the sessions are coming up that's going to ask those questions about us. We need to put ourselves in check to some degree about some of these things. What are we doing, you know, or not doing, and then why? And then lastly on that note, family, some of these groups and organizations that call themselves, you know, advocating for us, as the brother just said, he said a key word. That's probably my favorite Kwanzaa word for the Ngunzu Saba. Kujichangalia. Kujichangalia, meaning when are we going to have our own stuff, y'all? Our own health facilities, our own schools. And if groups and organizations are not either advocating or supporting that, I kind of think y'all need to check them again. If their whole MO is focused on them grants and stuff, you better check them again. That's all I can say. Something's just gone awry for sure. All right, brothers and gentlemen, listen. So what can folks do right now to get involved?
Absolutely. We're asking folks to take kind of four steps along the lines of what y'all are going to be up to for Kwanzaa. One is to endorse the Free Mutulu Now campaign, either as an organization or as an individual. And folks can go to bit.ly/F, Free Mutulu with a capital M for Mutulu, capital F, capital M, Mutulu. We're also asking folks to sign and share the petition calling for the Biden administration and Bureau of Prisons to release Dr. Mutulu Shakur immediately. And again, folks can find that at the middle link, Free Mutulu Petition, capital F, capital M, and capital P. And then we're asking folks to write Dr. Mutulu Shakur, and you can write them at Dr. Mutulu Shakur, hashtag 83205-012, FMC Lexington, P.O. Box 14500, Lexington, Kentucky 40512. And then if folks want to make a donation to the campaign or to Dr. Mutulu Shakur, you can visit cad.national.org or the MutuluShakur.com website. Click the ways to support, and that will give you instructions on how to make that. And then we're doing a Kwanzaa event. MXG is for Kujichangalia on Tuesday at 8 o'clock, I believe, is the time that we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And folks are invited to do that. And it's Kwanzaa MXGM 2021. And folks can find a bill there or find us on Facebook, MXGM National, to find more about that event happening Tuesday. And we'll be talking more about what we're up to and also the campaign. So those are ways folks can support, and encouraging everybody to support the other freedom campaigns for Sunday out of Coley. Kamal Siddiqui, I mean, like, to your point, like, you know, we see so many of the movements now running around chanting the Asada chant, saying it's our duty to fight for our freedom, it's our duty to win, and forget and say how much they love the autobiography, but forget the call that she left for us, which was to free her comrades, and that includes Sundiata Okoli, that includes Kamal Siddiqui, who was the father of her daughter, and is in jail actually because he wouldn't snitch on her, and Matuli Shakur, who is, of course, alleged to have been a part of the Black Liberation Unit that freed her from jail in Trenton, New Jersey. And so just honoring that call and to free them all.
Yes, yes, Ashe. Okay, just to recap, again, you know, Dr. Matuli Shakur has been denied nine times. No. There are people who have committed murder,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying, and white folks in particular, and they are out, right? This was not a murder. This is not murder. This was not, you know, that. So, you know, definitely, obviously, something is off here. I mean, well, not really, because
yeah.
you live in America, so you know it isn't. But y'all get my point, okay? And so,
yeah.
again,
yeah, it's.
Go ahead, Bradley. Yes.
No, I was just saying he served his time. I think that's so important. Like, yo, he served his time. Like, he actually should be released right now. I think that's so important for us to just hammer home. Like, we don't have to argue about what he did or what he didn't do. He served his time.
That's right.
He should be let go, right? He's been denied
right.
900 days of good time, which, again, applied to his sentence. He, again, would be freed two times over. Same with so many of these revolutionaries. And this is why we know that they are, in fact, political prisoners, because if it was simply criminal justice, they should have been released by then. And like you said, to your point, we've seen so many other cases of folks who have served their time and been released, and our political prisoners still remain behind bars.
And I want to point something else out that people need to be aware of, particularly as we proceed, because with the MWM We Charge Genocide 21, it is definitely our intention to name ourselves, y'all. In fact, taken from the guidance and the instruction of Baba Herman Ferguson, we will be holding our first pre-plebiscite session in September, when we do our We Charge Genocide 21 Summit. We will hold our first pre-plebiscite session, and the purpose for that is to begin to come to some consensus on what we wish to be called. And I said that because one of the things that Dr. Matuli Shakur and others made it very clear, they called themselves new Africans. And I want to point out that a lot of times for our people, when you start calling yourself something else, that in itself puts you on a list. When you start saying that you're not either an African-American, a Negro, or what have you, you better know that they get ready to come after you about something else, and it has never failed. So, again, Dr. Matuli Shakur is committed, has always said he was New African, as with others. And again, family, because we're not educated about those things, even some of our people see them as being like, you know, foreign or something. No. Remember, when this country was started, right, what did they do? They made it very clear that they had a connecting place with from where they came from. So New York became New York. From what? From York. From Europe, from England. New England became New England because where they came from was called England. Same thing, Providence, all that stuff. New Hampshire, those were all names taken from the locations and the places that they had come from and were familiar with. So when you hear these, you know, these terms, they're not out of sync with the reality of a political statement, you see. And we have to begin to grasp and understand some of these things. And so with that kind of approach in psychology, you know, some of these things were developed and derived from those premises, from those, you know, particular kinds of formats. So, you know, we just want to put that out there to y'all. All right, family, we're going to get ready to close this session out. We're going to go back to Brother Jomo and get his closing comments. Brother Jomo, you got it.
Again, I just want to thank you for having us on to be able to talk about the campaign. I want to extend the greetings that the love that I have received from others, from Dr. Matuba Shakur, and he's been encouraged to know that so many folks are continuing to fight for his freedom and the freedom for other political prisoners. And I think that, again, Kwanzaa is a great opportunity for us as a people to use this as an opportunity to really get behind our political prisoners, really get behind each other for a fight for freedom. And in 2022, we absolutely must charge genocide again and again. So, again, thank you all. Free to land. Free to land by any means necessary.
All right. Good things. Thank you again, Brother General. And I think right about now, family, it would be more than appropriate to do this. Of course, whenever we get a Mumia commentary, we try to bring that to you. And so we do have a new one. And, of course, he is going to talk to us briefly about our ancestor now, Baba Russell Maroon Schultz. Again, Brother General, thank you so very much, and I look forward to talking with you and building with you in the future. And listen, please be so kind to send me an email with the petition information and the other things that you've mentioned so that we can reformat that and send it out and have it ready available for tomorrow in terms of the other action steps and all of that. I'll text you my email address, and please send that to me.
Will do.
All right. Good things, my brother. All right, family. All right. And here we go with Mumia Abu-Jamal. Hold on one moment. Okay, here we go.
Russell Maroon Schultz, presente. He was born Russell Schultz of Philadelphia in 1943. A pivotal event occurred when he was a young child that marked the years of his life and sent him on a trajectory that cost him most of his life lived in a state prison cell. He was just 5 years old when he and his father were looking out the window of the family's home in West Philadelphia when they witnessed several cops beating a black man on the streets. In a 2017 interview with the San Francisco Bayview newspaper, Schultz recounts the following. Once the cops got the black guy in their car, one of them turned and blurted, "Any of you other niggers want some of this?" And I saw our neighbors begin to shut their doors and withdraw from their windows, while my father took my hand and pulled me away from our window as well. Right then, at the age of 5, I determined that what had occurred was wrong. From that age of 5, Schultz tells us, until his mid-30s, he felt a deep sense of humiliation and rage. These feelings compelled him to help organize the Black Unity Council and later led him to the Black Panther Party and finally the Black Liberation Army, the BLA. And those relationships led him to conflicts with the state, armed conflicts, that led him 2 decades in prison during several life terms and long years in the hole. 1977 would prove a turning point, for that was when Schultz and 4 others broke out of Huntington State Prison in central Pennsylvania. One of the men got trapped before he could escape. Another got killed on a mountainside. And 2 others were caught by nightfall. Maroon, however, wasn't one of them. He stayed free for about a month before recapture, and he was beaten brutally once they found him. He expected nothing less. But the experience transformed him. Before his escape, he was known as Harun, an Arabic name, meaning Aaron, the brother of Moses. Afterwards, he took the name Maroon, for the African slaves who rebelled and ran away from bondage into the hills and swamps of the Americas. He found out something else, that humiliation, that incessant rage that rained from his youth had passed like a summer storm. He was Maroon, one who escaped the bondage of prison. He spent 49 years in prison and was a brilliant teacher to generations of younger black men. He was a serious student of history. And after released for medical reasons in October 2021, he lived for 52 days in freedom with his sister, his children, and the rest of his family before he returned to his ancestors. He was marooned, free at last, again. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal saying love, not fear. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
Indeed. And again, that was Mumia Abu-Jamal. And, of course, talking about Russell Maroon Schultz, who made transition last week. And, again, you know, serving, what, 49 years or so? I mean, you know, it is just unbelievable, but not really, because living in America definitely tells you that this is what it is about. You stand up in this country, as in any country, I guess, but definitely the difference is other countries don't say that they are the poster child for freedom, justice, and all that kind of stuff. Other countries, you know, that's not their slogan. That's not what they're advocating. So you would expect certain things from them. But this country said it was founded on these so-called principles and certainly have demonstrated, you know, something totally different. And so that's why it behooves us to make sure that we point that out, that, again, you know, black folks was considered, what, three-fifths of a person. So, you think that kind of imagery or idea or concept has vanished? No, particularly when it is embedded in this system. And so we're dealing with systemic continuation, generational kinds of stuff that has to be dealt with, undone, addressed, and so forth. Anyway, the We Tried Genocide 21 is about doing that and then some. And we thank those who have continued to support, and those that have not, well, all I can say is y'all need to do a Michael Jackson thing and take a look in the mirror. Because if you're not supporting something, if not the We Charge Genocide 21, if you're not supporting something that is close to it or, you know, moving in that direction, y'all need to do a Michael Jackson in more ways than one. Because that's what time it is. And anything other than that is a joke. It really is in the 21st century. If you're just talking about feeding some people, and don't get me wrong, that's essential. It is definitely helpful. Although some of the stuff that people are giving our people is, you know, anyway. But I'm saying, you know, we can't hide behind these good gestures. I mean, it's good and all of that, the school giveaways and all of that, but you can't keep putting a Band-Aid on, you know, this type of cancerous stuff. And given the fact that the Black Panther Party was doing that 50-plus years ago, good gracious, y'all better be doing something a little different now, I would think. Anyway, We Charge Genocide 21 is now in full force. We had to readjust our timetable a bit because, again, COVID has really, you know, it forced us to do that. And so we've kind of pushed things into the year 2022, and we're definitely doing our 25-year anniversary. So you can best believe they can come with COVID or whatever else they're coming up with. We're going to figure out how we're going to make that happen. And along with that, the We Charge Genocide 21. Now, again, we have 21 points. Unlike anything or anyone else, we have 21 minimally 21 areas that we are addressing. And again, COINTELPRO is one. And here's one that we want you all to think about because the brother kind of mentioned it earlier in a different way. We're also asserting that the crack cocaine epidemic, disaster, et cetera, is a part of our We Charge Genocide 21 project. This was intentionally put in our communities. We've seen the documents that says that. And so when we do the summit, we will provide additional reports on that as well as plans of action, and it will be included in our filings. Now, also, for the We Charge Genocide 21, you know, they're talking about more outbreaks just coming. So, again, we can't really, you know, say things for certain, but our plan and projection is to begin holding kinds of inquests in our communities. So we may have to go back to Zoom again. I'm not sure. But at any rate, for 2022, we will hold community inquests. What does that mean? That means in our communities, we will be able to start documenting the various types of crimes against humanity in our communities, by city, by state. So we'll be giving you more information about that during these next 7 days. Again, we have to start compiling the data, the information. It's one thing to talk about police and governmental terrorism. It's one thing to talk about gentrification. It's one thing to talk about mass incarceration, all the things that's connected to the system when it comes to prisons. But when you begin to look at the hardcore documentation, the facts, the data, that changes things. That shifts things. So that's what we're talking about doing. Now, for those of you who are not members of the We Charge Genocide or the Movement for Black Human Rights, we certainly suggest you do so. You can become a member now. And if you want more information, you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can go to our website, WeChargeGenocide21.com, but it's WCG21.com. There's information there. It's still being updated, but there's some stuff you can start working with there. And also, you can email us at nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject, which stands for National Black Human Rights Project, @gmail.com. You could send PayPal there. And our Cash App is $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. I want to thank Baba Asar and Baba Yao and others who have been very supportive for our project over this past year. Appreciate all that you all are doing. Sister Dottie and others, of course, our brother Luke Uncage. And again, Lamuna Uncage, that is. And again, family, we hope that you all will support. I was just telling Brother Jomo earlier that I found it to be very interesting that many, but some of the well-known groups and organizations who are nationalist, pan-Africanist, revolutionary, all these various, you know, titles, but yet, you know, we don't get no support from them, for real. And it's like, how y'all do that? I mean, for real, how do you do that? You can't keep holding on to the personality thing. Oh, like the sister, she said, you know, no. Look at the work. Look at the potential of what can be accomplished and deal with that. It's almost my time now. Dealing with truth. Deal with facts, okay, not what you thought, what you heard, or even what you just don't like. I mean, that's cool. But deal with the work, because in the long run, that's what's going to really tell the story, and it's going to also, you know, bring some clarity to some nonsense that's been going on too long that needs to be gotten rid of, period. And again, you know, this next year is going to demonstrate that fact, too. Just like we said in 2017, we said 2020 was going to be a year of real stuff. Well, it was and is. Anyway, moving right along. We're going to get ready to open up the mic for you all, family, because we said this is an open mic night. But before we do, I wanted to share this with you. I mentioned earlier about how we got a report that talked about the possibility of a detention, of detention centers, rather, being opened in New York. I'm trying to see who sent me that. Whoever it was, thank you very much. I'll find who sent it to me shortly. But we already knew that, you know, this was coming or something was coming. Well, the point is, oops, hold on 1 minute. Let me find out what happened here. I was looking for, I see what happened. I got to change over to something real quick. So I wanted to play this clip for you to kind of share with you what it was that was sent. And I'd like to get your thoughts and opinion about it, okay? And so, hold on 1 moment. I'm going to, yep, there we go. I want you to check this out. Now, again, we already knew that some other stuff was coming because, you know, we could see the trickery. But I want you to check this out.
I hope that you are having a very, very merry Christmas. Now, to start with, over in the state of Ohio, a new bill has just been signed into law which will protect babies who were born despite a doctor's attempt to abort them. Meanwhile, the definition of what it means to be fully vaccinated is really changing here in America. That's because new regulations are going into place across the entire country in places like schools, restaurants, hospitals, even opera houses, and so on, which are now requiring people to show proof of having gotten a booster shot in order to either work there or even to enter the premises. In the state of New York, well, they might be even taking it a step further because they have a new bill that's currently working its way through the state legislature, which would allow the government to place people that they deem to be threats to public health into indefinite detention. Let's go through it all together. This is your daily Facts Matter update, and I'm your host, Roman from the Epoch Times. And now let's begin today's discussion over in New York, where the definition of being fully vaccinated is really beginning to shift. How? Well, just yesterday, a restaurant group, which has over 18 different locations, they announced that they will be requiring both their employees as well as their customers to have gotten a booster vaccine shot as a prerequisite for stepping through the door. Let me just repeat that. Here in New York City, which where we filmed the show, where, by the way, we already have some of the strictest vaccine mandate policies in the entire country, you quite literally have to show a vax card in order to enter any kind of a restaurant. Well, this restaurant chain is saying that that's not enough. Instead, they will be requiring both their employees as well as their patrons to show proof that they have received a booster shot as well. Now, the restaurant group in question here, it's called the Union Square Hospitality Group, and they have 18 different locations throughout the city, most of them being rather upscale places. And here's what the owner of that restaurant group said during an interview on CNBC. At this point, the science has changed. What has been a little bit tougher has been watching this crushing wave of Omicron sweeping through New York City and certainly through the country. And if you've been following the developments surrounding the vaccine mandates throughout America, then you likely know that this restaurant chain is not alone. In fact, just a few days ago, here is what Gavin Newsom, who is, of course, California's governor, he's a Democrat, here's what he sent out via Twitter. California will require healthcare workers to get their booster. With Omicron on the rise, we're taking immediate actions to protect Californians and ensure our hospitals are prepared. And with that, California became the second state in the nation, right after New Mexico, to require that their healthcare workers get the booster shot. Likewise, there are numerous colleges and universities across the country right now which are also requiring that their staff members, their faculty, as well as their students get the booster shots.
Okay. Wow. So now, here we go with a very slick maneuver. You have the freedom. You do have the freedom, okay, to select whether you're going to comply or not. It's your choice. That's the new scope of freedom now. It is your choice. You can either not enter into the restaurant or not go to school, if you're in college or whatever, or not have the job or not. That's your choice. You have the freedom to select whether or not you want to do those things. No one's going to make you do them. But the thing is, if you don't, you just won't have those things accessible to you, available to you. Now, you got to admit, that's some slick stuff right there. That is some slick stuff. And y'all ain't seen nothing yet because it's going to get even more so. So here's my point. So what are we going to be putting in place to even begin to try to fight that stuff back or resist? let's put it that way, to resist, okay? And this is why I'm saying if whoever you're dealing with in terms of leadership, for lack of a better word, is not coming up with some other things possibly, to at least, again, resist, fight back in whatever way, you need to really be checking out where, you know, who them people are, because I can tell you this is going to be really, really interesting, and you're going to know who was who very, very soon, and you're going to have to make some choices about those things. So if you're not supporting an entity or entities that is moving in that direction, then you could be part of the problem. No, let me back up. You are part of the problem. How about that? Okay, it's time for some real truth, speaking some real truth to power. So I just wanted to share that with you, family, and if you have a comment about what you just heard, we certainly welcome your views about that. I mean, this is some very serious stuff. Again, for those of you who are not in tune to us having our own schools, well, you sure enough better be. If, in fact, you are trying to secure a future for your children, grandchildren, niece, nephew, or what have you, we don't have our own schools. I mean, that's at least a start. That's for sure. And so I'm just saying, this is stuff that MWDM has been working on for years. Couldn't get much support, but we were still working on it and are a lot closer than most in making it happen. That's for sure. Anyway, if you have a question or a comment or a thought, please feel free to press 1 now. And let's see if there's something else I want to share with you. Oh, yeah, I want to share with everyone that we're going to be working on a couple of things coming up. Of course, MWM in March, at least we hope, we want to do our National Black Women's Political Convention in March. We're working on it now. Again, we have no idea what's going to happen with this COVID thing. We just got word earlier. We talked to Baba Bilal, and, you know, he's been trying to get back home. But, you know, they're not letting any entry in to, you know, to where he normally would be at this time. So, you know, we don't know what's going to be happening. And again, we've had to readjust our schedule for MWM and for the Recharge Genocide. We wanted to do it in a way where we could, you know, be more active in the community. And we're still going to do it to the best of our ability. But things are starting to shut down again. A lot of cancellations are going on. And so, unfortunately, we're going to have to make some adjustments, but we're going to still get this done, y'all. You can best believe that. We got that Harriet Tubman, our mental spirit going on. So you can best believe we're going to keep it moving regardless. Naysayers and all of that stuff. We know we got a lot of haters out there for MWM25. We already feeling y'all, but guess what? Got some big surprises for you as well. That's going to knock a lot of that right out the box. We were depending on people for our 20-year anniversary. We got, you know, had pledges. People said they were going to do various things, and they did not. This time we're not depending on any of that. So, you know, we should be really, really, really productive as projected. At any rate, family, doesn't seem like anyone has anything they want to share with us right about now, which is okay, because then we can get ready to close out early tonight. We don't have as many listeners, at least not in our podcast that we see, which was one of the questions we wanted to ask, which was, why is it that so many folks are still celebrating or observing Christmas? And I'm talking to people who know something a little different, who know some truth. Why are they still going along with this program, you know, of you know, buying into this holiday thing? I mean, they did the same thing for Thanksgiving, but Christmas? Why? And I know, you know, the family and all that, but you know what? I can only say that people do better when they see better. And while, you know, I'm not saying to go against anything or anyone, but at the same time, come on. I mean, anyway, what can I say? You know, to each his own, everybody do their thing, but I'm just curious why people who, you know, have read Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, have read, you know, Amos Wilson and others, why are folks like that still dealing with ho-ho-ho? Anyway, that was a question that I was raising. I would love to hear some answers. Oh, somebody's brave enough to give a response. Okay. All right, caller at 9808. We thank you, and your mic is open. 9808.
How you doing, Sister Pelay? How are you? Yes, I did send you a happy holiday. How you doing? I've been sick for 2 weeks with the flu, so. Yes,
are you feeling
yes,
better
yes.
now?
I,
are you better?
Look, I'm trying. I'm trying so
okay.
I can get out here. I haven't been nowhere. And it's like all my work is backing up. I got to get well to get out of here.
Oh,
but
my
anywho,
goodness.
Wishing everybody a happy holiday. I love that. You know, I do not celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
And I love the fact that I learned not to celebrate Christmas anymore, not to go broke, because before I started reading everything and I started being around people who knew, who's been able to teach me the real truth about Christmas and all the holidays, even Fourth of July, the whole thing. I used to celebrate all of that, but I don't anymore. But I still like the feeling of the holiday. I wish everybody a nice holiday. Well, however they celebrate it. However they celebrate it, whether they do lights or whether they don't, whether they do Kwanzaa. You know, now that's what we started to do is Kwanzaa, because now we know a whole lot more than we used to know. So we don't celebrate Christmas anymore, but we still love the holiday, and the holiday feeling, and the joy that it gives you, and then, you know, so I just a happy holiday
Daddy.
To everybody.
But Sister Daddy, wait a minute. So, and I understand what you're saying, but check this out. So these people know that we like to feel good. They know that.
Right.
But if feeling good, if feeling good is connected to white supremacy, or let me rephrase that, if feeling good is connected to helping us to stay enslaved, what is the real, it feels good. You know, I mean, I'm sure you remember folks being on crack.
Yes,
it felt good. It felt good. I know my brother, it felt good. Right? So my point is for us to be, as we say, woke or aware.
Right.
Helping our people to know that feeling good that we've been feeling about that was really a trick. It was really like, you know, it's a hypnotic kind of thing that makes you think it's in your best interest when it really isn't.
Well, it doesn't make you think it's in your best interest. It's just a feeling. It's just a feeling. But, yes, it is connected to the white supremacy. Yes, it is connected to the slaveryism. But we just got to be emotional people. We just got to find a new way to feel, because we are emotional people.
Right.
That's why, you know, so we got to find another way to feel. And I was just emotional about it because I'm like, well, just saying happy holiday to people can't be something that can be harmful or subjected to white supremacy. But I see that it is because it's an emotional feeling. I understand what you're saying. So I just had to find another way. You feel happy, emotional mm-hmm. about some of the, you know, about, well, I would say about the different holidays, you know, in mm-hmm. in a manner that, in a woke manner, then just don't feel nothing. Just don't feel nothing. So as I grow, I'll find more mm-hmm. ways, another way. But you're absolutely right about this white supremacy, and you're absolutely right about the slaveryism, you know. So as I keep growing, I learn a better way. Uh-huh, that's emotional uh-huh. for me. Even if right. it's to the point where I don't have to say anything anymore, and that would be
right.
cool. That would be cool. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Because I know I won't be putting myself out there for something that I don't believe in. No.
So, right.
I'll roll with it.
So that's why, you know, and again, I want to share this with everyone, family, because you're going to hear it a lot now come MWM25, because we've been working on it for, gosh, several years now. But now is indeed the time. We're going to be proposing the first national holiday for a black woman come mm-hmm. next year, 2022. See, again, you're absolutely correct, my sister. We are... I'm not going to say emotional. And yeah, we are emotional. There's no question about that. But they have been able to use that against us. And so mm-hmm. we can't allow them to use our emotionalism against us. You see, we're feely people. We feel. We're humane, for lack of a better word. But they've used that against us, you see, because
Love
we haven't
job.
Learned – Right. We haven't learned to separate our emotions from oppression and other stuff, you see.
That's
and so
true.
We now have to come up with other concepts, solutions, and so forth to do that. So that's why MWM creates stuff. We and that's why next week for Kuumba, we'll be introducing some of the things that we've created in terms of how we're going to deal with deprogramming ourselves from you know,
Wonderful.
From this enslavement talent. So again, we'll be proposing very soon, and our members will have the first opportunity to vote on the we have three that we're going to introduce as the suggestions for the first national holiday for a black woman. We only have Dr. King as a national holiday for a black man. And so certainly in the 21st century, it is time that there be a holiday for a black woman. What do you think about this, Sister Dottie?
I love it. I love it.
I do too.
And I'm the first one going to be diving into it. I love it.
Yes.
You
yes.
know?
So see, we got to create
really,
our own ways of celebrating.
Wonderful.
Yes, we got to create our own way to celebrate, our own way, as you said, to feel good and all of that. Our
mm-hmm.
stuff, you see. So
our own said, power.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. So we have it narrowed down to three. And again, starting next year, we will introduce the concept on the national level for the first holiday for a black woman. And we again, it's now down to three. We're not going to tell you who the three are. Some of you already know, but we're going to be putting it out there, you know, really in our communities, because we're going to vote on this as a part of our 25-year anniversary so that we can begin to push it through legislation and so forth. Okay, so get ready for
Wonderful.
That, Sister Dottie.
Yes, indeed.
What bells?
Yes. And also, family, I was remiss. We have 20 sister saints. Next year, we will have 25 sister saints. And I was remiss a few weeks ago to mention the Earth Day and, interestingly enough, the ancestral day of one of our sister saints. And it is the great Ella Baker. The great Fundy. They called her Fundy. But she's one of our sister saints. She just so happened to have been born on December the 13th and also made transition on December the 13th. Okay. So again, we're producing a calendar as well as a couple of books that will talk about our sister saints. And, oh, speaking of that, Sister Dottie, this is something else that we'll be sharing very soon when we introduce our Black Print Agenda 25. Sisters, those of you who are poets or you like writing poetry, you might not be an actual poet, but you have written some poetry, we're going to produce a book of poetry for MWM25. Also, for those who want to share their stories, we're going to also make our story. We're going to be filming or publishing stories for those who were involved 25 years ago or during these past 25 years. We want to get some of your stories about MWM, and we're compiling that. We want to have that ready for next year also. And so, see, Sister Dottie, we figured out how we're going to raise our own funds. Or at least that's just some of the areas that we're looking at. Our first book of poetry, Black Women, Men and Women March, we'll be producing our own poetry book as well as the stories. We're going to share some of the stories of our sisters over these years. Those are going to be some of the publications that we have ready in the next year. And remember, this 25-year anniversary is going to be a year-long celebration of the greatness and the glory of Black women from antiquity to present day. Ooh, we're going to be doing it up, sister. We're going to be doing it up.
I love it.
Yes, indeed.
I love it. Now I'm so blessed and honored to be a part of this organization. You just don't know.
Listen, we feel blessed to have you, though. Listen, and all of our sisters and brothers, those brothers in support, big ups to you all as well. We appreciate and love you. But, you know, we are going to make sure that it is a family affair over in this next year coming. But best believe, sisters, we started the Million Black Women Rising Federation. Even though someone else has come up with something similar, it ain't us. We got our own plan of action, and including the Million Woman Party, which we'll be introducing at our convention for the National Black Women's Political Convention for March. Okay, hopefully we're able to pull it off again. It's kind of hard. We see them talking this stuff, Sister Dottie, with this new COVID variant. They're already talking about shutting stuff down again. So, you know, we have to kind of wait and see in the next month.
They shut down what they want. We still, look, that has no bearing on us.
It doesn't in reality. It does slow a few things up that we wanted to do, but you know, it just has us to reschedule some stuff, that's all. But you're right, it ain't going to stop us. You got that right. It definitely is not going to stop us.
Mm-hmm. No, because right, what the Lord wants, the Lord gets.
Hey, well, I say what Black women want, Black women get. I can say that because, you know, again, I have to focus on what I know is within our reach, and also keep us focused in that kind of manner. And you know, folks can do whatever they want to do in other things and in other arenas. But, you know, again, we have the last day of Kwanzaa, Imani, to focus on faith. And so what we encourage all of our people to do is, you know, to make that active, to make that manifest, make your faith manifest into something. See, that's the point that I'm making with that. whatever you believe, that's fine. But let's see it. Let's make it manifest. The Million Woman March was manifested. It wasn't just something that I believed. It happened, you see. So that's what we're suggesting to folks. We want folks to take whatever they believe, whatever their faith is, put it in a way that it can now be brought forward and transform what we need to see real justice and liberation.
Yeah.
That's what this, this seven principles. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Sister Dottie, hopefully you'll be better next week because you know we're doing our Kuwumba Kwanzaa Day on Friday.
I hope. I mean, you know what? I'm going to make sure I'm better and I don't be contagious. Because yes, I'll be there.
All right.
And don't forget
right.
tomorrow, right? You said tomorrow at 5, right?
Yep, tomorrow at 5:30 we'll be over at Zion Baptist Church, which is 3600 North Broad Street here in Philadelphia. We're going to start off with showing the black candle. There's going to be a lighting of the candles for the first day of Kwanzaa. There's going to be a panel discussion. And the Thai Himba drummers are going to be there as well. And, of course, there will be some refreshments. You know, we're going to be safe. We're going to use safety protocols. So either bring your mask, or we'll also have masks available as well as sterilizer. And we will be, you know, using precautions to the best of our ability so that we're in a safe environment. And, oh, there's a table for the children. If you want to bring the children, we have crafts for the children as well.
That is good. I'll be there.
Okay. All right, family.
Yes,
all right, Sister Dottie. Thanks. So listen, we will be in touch, and I certainly look forward to if not seeing you tomorrow, definitely next week. So get better. Get better. Get that turmeric. Get that ginger.
Yes. I got it.
Yes, indeed. And that's some of the things, starting for 2022, we're going to really put an emphasis on health for our people because without health, we can't do nothing. You can't do nothing without health, without, you know, having some kind of good health, optimizing our health. So we're going to really be working on that. Okay. All right, Sister Dottie, thank you for your comments, your thoughts, your love, and get better soon. Get well soon.
Sure. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, certainly. All right, family,
bye-bye.
Listen, we're going to, I guess, get ready to close out. Let me check and see if there's anyone else that has a comment or a thought. We certainly welcome you to do so. This is an open mic time for right now. And, again, we want to remind you that we will be here in Philly. And, by the way, we are going to be filming we'll be on Zoom at 7 o'clock. So the film showing is from 5, well, we probably won't get started exactly 5, but roughly to around 5:30-ish to around 6:30-ish, 6:45-ish. But at 7 o'clock, we plan to be on Zoom. So if you're interested in joining us on Zoom, you can do so. You can just email me at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will get you on Zoom to be with us. If you can't be with us physically, you can be with us on Zoom. I forgot to mention that to Sister Dottie, but I think she just heard me now. So we'll be sending that out to our e-list. Again, you can join us on Zoom for our Umoja Unity tomorrow, starting at 5:30, okay? All right, family. Let me see if there's anything else I want to share with you before we close out. Just want to mention to you again that MWM is committed to dealing with the issues or some of the issues that are, in fact, oppressing us, suppressing us, and depressing us. We can't just keep talking about what the enemy is doing. We know what the enemy is doing and also what the enemy is going to be doing to, you know, put their foot on our neck even more. The question is, what are we going to do? So we're looking at, you know, ways to deal with, you know, resisting and becoming free or freer,
for those who, you know, think we're free. Well, we are free to some degree, but definitely not in the way that most people think. Anyway, we're looking at freedom begins with you. That's right. Just like some other stuff. It begins with you. So with that said, we're going to be talking more about what can we do to become free. Certainly as a people, no doubt about that. But also, what can you, what can each person, each individual, and I'm not talking about individualism, so let's get that real clear. I'm talking about you as a being, because each one of us has their own fingerprints. Therefore, there must be something very unique about each being. Therefore, what can you do to be free? Freedom starts with you and definitely is about us. But again, can we look at what we need to do to improve upon our own lives? We got to take some responsibility for ourselves. Some of our do's and don'ts, some of our idiosyncrasies or growth and development or whatever, that has to be dealt with. How can we be better at various things? We or that person, as it applies to the whole. However, you can't look at that whole without you looking at the pieces that make up the whole. Yep. It is that time, family. We've got to begin to look very critically at each other, at one another, at yourself. Again, the man in the mirror, and I'm saying that and making that very clear, that if we're not doing certain things, each person, each individual, each entity, whatever you want to call it, is not doing certain things, we need to question who and what they really are about. So I'm going to leave it in there, I guess. But that's going to be one of the topics or one of the concepts that we're going to be talking about in the very near future. Let me see. The other thing I wanted to close out with is, and this was one of the questions for the open mic, and that is, how do we develop our own unapologetic national Black/African leadership or representation? I mean, again, if we're not bringing forward that for ourselves, because other people are and other groups are, but not in representing a frame of reference that is applicable or more conducive to us. All these other folks, they're training each other. Just a teacher sent me some earlier. It talks about how, what's her name? How the national, the Action Network, they train their people as teenagers, probably even earlier, and other groups and organizations do as well, to take leadership positions. Now, these positions that they end up taking are not in the best interest of folks like you and I. And so they get paid very well to put out these issues about justice and blah, 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 blah. But you best believe ain't nothing about no self-determination and definitely not about no real freedom and no real justice. But they are polished. They are good at what they do, much more so than before. These people, they learned the tricks and the trade, as they say. And so, again, what are we doing? Who represents us on a national level? And when I say us, I'm talking about folk who are not trying to uphold this system. Where are the people who are representing us on a national level? And where's the connectivity? And where are the plans of action? Where are they at? We got to look at this very carefully, because if not, we will have been not only negligent, shame, 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 shame. We shouldn't have to be. We shouldn't be talking about one or two people, Dr. Omar Johnson, or, you know, a few others that have national notoriety that kind of is speaking at least in the context of, you know, a certain type of fervor or whatever. You know, whether you disagree or agree with other politics about them, there's some stuff there that, you know, you got, hey, you got the brother RZA, Izza, you know. Again, I mean, there's a few, but nothing to the extent of these other people. All right. It's sad. And I'm not saying we should be bumping people up for notoriety and all of that, but we need some folk. We had a Dr. Khalid, right? I mean, we need some folks that are really well-rounded, very diverse in terms of understanding black folks, can articulate it quite well, et cetera, et cetera. Well-read, all of that. Where are our folks at? And won't sell us out. Where they at? I tell you, we better start coming up with some stuff soon, because if not, the generation that's coming in will be more confused than we can possibly imagine. And some of us, not me, but some of these other folks will be the blame, or at least partially, because I'm going to do everything I possibly can. Anyway, so we're going to close out. Let me see, it was something, oh, I know what I was looking for. I think it was Sister Munir sent me something earlier with Ashaka Musa Barashango, which would have really been quite appropriate for right now. If I can pull it up, I will, to take us out. And again, you know, for those who are not familiar with Ashaka Musa Barashango, you should be. He was one of our great religious or spiritual leaders, representatives, I'll use that word. And he wrote two books, actually volume one and volume two, same title, about European holidays. And so I was trying to pull it up for you. I'm not finding it, but you can look it up. Check out Ashaka Musa Barashango, European Holidays is the title of the book, or at least part of the title. I'm trying to find, okay, I'm not finding it. I believe it was again, Sister Munir has sent me something, and I was going to play the clip for you. But at any rate, hold on 1 minute. Let's try that. Let's see if it's there. Nope, it's not there. Okay, I was trying to find it, but I don't see it. But again, he breaks down a lot of these horror days. And again, like Sister Dottie was saying, you know, we get so depressed and oppressed that, you know, any kind of joy or happiness that come our way, we want to grab it. But, you know, again, we got to be cognizant to the fact that they know that and they play on that. And so they give us the stuff, because they know that, you know, they got us so, mentally, oftentimes, you know, we're just not feeling good. And so they'll give us some stuff to, you know, help us to feel good or to feel better. But in reality, again, it's not real. And so we've got to start grabbing on to some stuff that is real. So, again, for those who want to support our campaign for there being a holiday for a black woman, again, you can email us at nashvillemwm@aol.com. And also, oh, wait a minute, did I find it? Oh, yeah, I think I did find it. Okay, hold on one moment. I might have found what I was looking for that Sister Munira sent me. So let's see if that was it. Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. All right, so I'm going to try to pull this up so that you all can hear Dr. Ashaka Musa Barashango. And hold on 1 minute. Let me see if I can play a little bit of this for you. Oops, not playing.
And of our positive African ancestors, rest and abide with each and every one of you. May their protective hand be with you, their prosperity and wisdom. I am indeed thankful this evening to be able to gather with you in the discussion of this subject. And I'm thinking about the fact that there was a time when more than two Africans would gather together here in this hostile environment to discuss anything that would be with suspicion. But if they were found discussing the topics that you discuss in this place, their lives were set on the line. Tonight we're able to gather here in this setting that is truly a setting of our own creation and have our own little bit of Africa tonight, our own oasis in the midst of the storm. And so it is a wonderful experience to be able to share that with you here this evening. How are you feeling? Good. You're looking good. Looking real good. I want to give special thanks to the organization that brought us in. It's the UAM. United African Movement, isn't it? Yes, thank you. And the Brother Bundy, who was so kind to and looked after me so well once I got here in the city. And I'm so thankful for his kindness, care, and keeping. And Dr. Felder, who I understand is one of my best press agents here, one of Fourth Dynasty's best friends. We didn't even know that you were with the organization. We're all together. I understand he is the foremost press agent for Fourth Dynasty Publishing Company here. Brother Roy Canton and Attorney Maddox, Brother Mark Rowley for his stimulating interview on the program today. I want to thank them. Now, before I get into the topic for this evening, I just have to do a black nationalist commercial for a moment to mention to you, we know that we are with Fourth Dynasty Publishing Company, which is owned and operated by the Barashango family, and which is committed to disseminating the accurate information relative to African people. And to this evening, unfortunately, I was only able to bring a few copies of African People and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide, Book 1 and 2. But I do have a goodly bit of copies of God, the Bible, and the Black Man's Destiny, which covers some 800 historical, biblical, and scientific facts on the African origin of the Bible, the African origin of Christianity, and many other subjects along that line, as well as the very beautiful African woman, the original guardian angel, which documents some of the wonderful and major contributions made by the black woman, her creation of an ongoing contribution to world civilization. So they are available there at the table. Our topic this evening in our discussion is holidays from the perspective of African-centered historical reality. So often we are compelled by the conditions and the environment we live in to look at things in a fantasy manner, a fantastic way, rather than from the viewpoint of reality. The object of the whole African-centered movement in bringing forth accurate information, not only in terms of history, but every other field of discipline, is to be certain that we as a people are able to be confronted with and be made to deal with and to have the tools, the powerful weapons of reality. Whether that reality is pleasant or unpleasant, we must be able to deal with reality in order to be rational and sane and to reach that place for which we are being called to go. And that's why we entitled this a topic tonight, Holidays from the Perspective of African-Centered Historical Reality. Why historical reality? I'm reminded of the words of El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, peace be upon him, affectionately known to us as Brother Malcolm when he said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward all research. And so it is. When you get into the history of something, then you have a better understanding of what it is, what it was created for, what are its purposes and objectives. So that's why we're approaching it from the perspective of an African-centered historical reality. African-centered because there is, has been, and we are still being subjected to a Eurocentric worldview. And there's still a great and wondrous struggle going on to break the bonds of that worldview. And so now we must view things from what we are, and we are an African people. I know I don't have to explain that to anybody in here tonight. And that's how you see things, how you look at things, from your experience. We have several premises I would like to discuss with you before we get into the historical elements of the topic tonight.
Okay. I just wanted to tease y'all with that a little bit, and we're going to play more of that for next week at our Karumba, because, again, we'll be talking about Watch Night and tying that into, of course, the last day of Kwanzaa is faith. And so Watch Night takes us into, you know, a whole concept of freedom. But also it takes us into the next day of faith. But we're tying it together because, you know, creativity, we have to now look at how are we going to be creative in the context of obtaining our liberation. And certainly the church at some point was very instrumental in obtaining freedom. And so we are going to look closer at that next week. We have invited a few folks that are in the clergy, both from the nation, actually from Islamic perspective, from Christian perspective, and so forth. But the point is, whatever the faith is, whatever the belief system is, how are we talking about using it for real freedom, for real justice? There seems to be some ambiguity here about that. So you also heard Dr. Ashaka Musa Barashango, who's from Philly, by the way, and started something here in Philly years ago called the Temple of the Black Messiah. See, again, we used to have black institutions, really. And so MWM is certainly committed to reinforcing those concepts. And we're going to tell you about that black print. When you see it, you're going to go, oh, okay, yeah, no doubt. Because in that, we will also be introducing some of the operations for the development of our spiritualities all across the board. Anyway, that's coming for 2022. But the thing we wanted to share with you for tonight, again, is please check out Dr. Ashaka Musa's book. As he mentioned briefly in the presentation, European Holidays, you definitely want to check it out. He breaks it down. And as he mentioned, you know, these people have us in worlds of fantasy intentionally. And don't get me wrong, it's okay to have imagination. It's okay to, you know, to really go out there. I mean, that geniuses do it all the time, and I dare say that we are that. But when it's used against you, you gotta be very careful. Anyway, family, we're gonna go ahead and close this session out. We certainly appreciate all of you. And again, if you're in Philly, you can join us starting around 5:30, 3600. Broad Street. If you want to be with us for Zoom, you can pick us up at 7. We will send you the link if you'd like. You can just email us at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can text me at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802, and we will send you the link. All right, family, we're going to close this session out, and with that said, we're just going to go out with some music tonight,
But y'all know we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Mahdenhotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace until there's truly Maatic justice. And I have to say that because you can't just say no justice. What does that mean? What does that mean, no justice? You know, there's a whole lot of different variations of that one. But when you say Maatic justice, that gives you a little more clarity, a little more conciseness, and definitely something that is a little more relevant to us. When you say justice, you could be talking about Justica, because that's the female that they tend to, put in the form of a deity, and that's where that name came from. So we got to, switch it up a little bit. I say Maatic justice, that kind of takes the spin off of their thing, at least for me it does. At any rate, if there's no justice, Maatic justice, that is, there definitely ain't going to be no peace. Until next time, family, and we'll probably do a special edition on Kujichagulia, second day of Kwanzaa, which will be Monday, but haven't decided yet. Let you know. Anyway, talk to you a little later on. And, have a blessed good 7 days, okay? Peace out. Thank you.